Good morning, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And thank you for your well wishes. I feel a little bit older today than I did last time I was standing here at the podium. Baruch Hashem, my oldest daughter became a kala, got engaged. And definitely a new stage in life is something that makes you feel old. The wedding is after Pesach, May 8th, New York.
Why
in New York? There aren't so many places here in Florida. But
why not?
What's the family
He's
there?
He's from Dallas.
Huh?
He's from Dallas.
Okay, yeah. Ain't going to be a wedding in Dallas, that much I'll tell you.
New Orleans?
Huh?
What about New Orleans?
He wants to go halfway. Anyway, so you should understand why in the next couple months, if we end up doing a few extra shiurim on things related to marriage, you'll understand why my mind is over there. But today's share, really, I want to focus on the broader concept. We entitled the share Minhagim in Halacha, and I want to talk about the broader Halacha concept of a minhag, of a custom. And I actually got, I'll start with this, good advice from an elder statesman here in the share. He saw me on Shabbos, and he said, you know, you're having your son-in-law over, future son-in-law, you should ask him at the Shabbos table, you know, what does your family do different than what you see over here? So I was ahead of the game. I did that. And we started talking. Now, excuse me. You know, we thought we did all the checking. We looked under every rock to find everything out. My daughter did a good job of interrogating him on each date. So we thought we knew it all. And then we found out about the big G word.
Gebrox.
You got it. Gebrox.
That's a deal breaker, I'll tell you. I want my Kinney lock.
Really. Right? We found out that his family has Hasidic ties. And they have a family custom, a family minhag, to be machbet on gebrox, not to eat lots of funny things.
I would only consider a canadal nadal.
Okay, that was definitely good for the older generation, right? The line was, he'll only consider, someone said when he went into Shidduchim, he only considered a canadal nadal, but nobody else, yeah. Right. Well, my daughter's a Canadian natal, but it doesn't help, you know.
She's got adopted.
Right?
Yeah.
It goes the other way.
Wow.
So they won't come to you for Pesach?
No.
One last hurrah now.
So, I know my wife started revamping all our menus. I said, why can't we just view it as, I have a fish allergy. So why can't we just view it as fish, okay? You know, the gebrox can't go near him. And I guess her either now. But, you know, we could have our gebrox and be happy. But, I don't know, my wife wasn't buying it.
Does he hold at the level that the pots have to
No,
he's
not say the kalim, the pots,
like really
have any problems, right? Yeah.
That's a deal breaker right there.
Right, right.
Makes it easier to know which holidays are coming to.
Yes, yes. But that's just one simple example of different minhagim that families have, and there's so many we'll talk about. And you see that minhagim very much affect our lives. So really today I want to weigh how strong is a minhag? Is a minhag something which is unbudgeable? Can we sometimes change minhagim? What are the factors? How do we understand it?
I just wonder if you checked out whether you hold it by air conditioning.
Air conditioning.
He's starting up again. For those Floridians listening, the question was posed, what did I ask the chassan what his family minhag is about Florida sukkahs, with or without AC?
These are fair questions. It should have been all asked already. You should be
yeah, okay. You know, maybe we should have the list.
Why didn't
right?
you ask these questions?
For a rainy day, I'll have you guys compile the list of all the Minhagim questions to ask. You know, we could save, you know, this one is over with. But we could save future Shidduchim if with your FBI, you know, interrogation list of Minhagim to see if they match, you know.
Sometimes it's better not to know.
Right.
Yeah, this is not the way to say it, Shadow.
Right? TFI.
Right,
DMI, whatever they call it.
You send the questionnaire with the residue, so you know what.
Now, I want to begin the share with a very interesting story, which I found brought La Halacha in a safer of Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliashiv. And the story goes like this. It's in the bottom of your sheets. There's an idea in general, there's a minhag, to do a chuppah under the stars. I believe, what I remember, the basis of it, it's a bracha for the couple that they should have offspring, generations, kecholchavim, like the stars. Okay? So this is a minhag to have a chuppah, ideally, you know, outside. Obviously, in colder climates, it's hard to have it outside, but to have a skylight that's open.
The wall has.
Right? That's open and that you could do outside. Now, practically speaking, this is a very... This minhag does come up a lot. A lot of times you go to weddings in hotels. They usually do not have this, you know, unless it's the wedding took place in an atrium room in the hotel. Usually it's in some type of ballroom. There ain't no hole in the ceiling to the sky. In Jewish halls, they make it, they'll have it in New York or something. It's like a trap door, you know, under a sewer. You know, who knows? You know.
Right,
you know, you see the grates up there. Okay, yeah, I see the sky. But some degree of an opening is good enough. But there has to be some type of opening. You can think about it. You know, you could have a wedding. You spent, you know, way into the six digits to do a wedding in the Waldorf. But if you don't have a skylight, you're missing out on this inyan, on this minhag. So you say, okay, Rabbi, there's lots of minhagim. If you watch, we're going to do 100 different minhagim at the chuppah. They'll walk around 7 times. They'll do this, they'll do that, break a glass, you know. We're going to do all the minhagim. So we missed one. What's the big deal? Big book. The Waldorf is a nice place. I'm making a nice wedding. So that was a shaila posed to Rebbe Yashav. What would you do in a situation where a family would want to do the wedding indoors without a skylight? So Rebbe Yashav, the question was posed by the Masada Kedushin. Look at the bottom of your sheets. This is word for word how Rebbe Yashav answered this question. He says, if they're going to want to do the Kedushin inside, that they want to go do it, you know, in the house. There was a story with the famous Rav Yitzchak Elchanan specter, the Rav Kovner, Kishnismana Bitsiruso the Rav, when he was first appointed as a Rav, a young Rav. The young Rav of the young Israel. No. Excuse me. Gevir Ira, the city wealthy man, his man of Lasada Kedushin Lembeso, he invited him to be Masada Kedushin in his house. The Kavir is going to do his daughter's wedding in his mansion. Hayezen Yom Geshem Vehikber Allah Tzilo Veshtanas Makam Achupar Benigal Minaglasas Achupar Bechatzar Beis Knesses. It happened to be, it was even a rainy day, and you know, they wanted to do the wedding inside, not in the Chatzar or the Shul, which was normally done. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Hodiya Shemishana Me'aminag Yelch Beiso L'Yisadag L'Kedushin. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said, if you're going to move it to your house, I'm going home. I'm not going to be Misadag Kedushin.
No.
That's a stand taken by a young Rav. La'ach mikan shaliu ma'rov this akish l'davar sheno isav lo alacha. Like, Rabbi, why are you standing so firm on something? It's not an iser to do a wedding inside. There's no halacha that says you have to do the wedding outside. El rak minig ba'alma. There's a custom. There's a minog. Osakim emachlokes ingavira ira bishosha dayin espasim amido. You're going to start a fight with the most powerful person in town as a young Rav just getting into position? That doesn't make any sense. Strong question. Now, I'll wait for a moment to give Rav Yitzchak Elchanan's answer to the question. But I just want to build up, you know, this scene is quite a big deal. It means you hear you had a young Rav ready to withstand the ultimate pressure in town. The most powerful person in town is insisting, and it sounds like from the way they told over the story, it sounds very reasonable. It wasn't just, okay, you know, he wants to show off his mansion and let's do the wedding inside. No, his cheshbon was, it was a rainy day. Isn't it better to do the wedding inside versus outside? Okay, there's a minhag. But, you know, we don't want any rain in our parade. And yet Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan stood firm and refused to do it. And people, you know, were aghast by such a decision.
Even though it was raining, or it was a rainy day?
It says Yom Gushim. I'm not sure. Lamaisa, I know this factor. In Yeshiva, Rav Henoch was very makbid on this. I assume this story, but others, these type of things, you makbid on. It should make sure that there's an opening. It's a big deal. But how do we weigh this? You know, before you read a story like this, before you see a psak lahalacha like this, you say, okay, it's a custom. It's not an iser. It's not brought lahalach in the Shulchan Aruch. Pashto, there's no Gemara that's a source for this. So, like, what's the big deal? So, let me first go. I think this itself needs explanation. I'm going to get back to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan's explanation that he gave. But I first want to start even earlier than that. I want to start with the Rashba. On the top of your pages, I brought a Rashba. Now, this Rashba is talking about the minog of what we call an ufraf. The Shabbos before a chasana, you make a celebration for the chasid. Now, that's a limited minog. It's a minog. It's limited. Sfaradim don't have it. Right. The Sfaradim have it, the Shabbos afterwards. Right? Talk about, you see, the women's rights by Sfaradim communities goes on. Ashkenazim, the Chosin, has an Ofrof, they have a Chasna, and then they have Shabbos Shavar Brachos. Kotel gets a Shabbos Shavar Brachos. By the Sfaradim, no Ofrof. You have a wedding, and then Shabbat Chatan. Where's the Shabbos Kallah? But, I'm joking. I'm in trouble, my Sephardi friends. But, there's a minhag of, yes, I shouldn't limit it. You know, quoting a Rashba. Right, they'll start hawking Rashba riffs, Ramans, you know, who was Sephardi, who was Ashkenazi. But there's a minhag, looks like dating back to the times of the Rishonim, of a Shabbos chasson, a Shabbos singing and dancing for a chasson. And, you know, really it's funny, you know, just to put in perspective for a moment, an Ofraf, a lot of these things, like, we lose things of the minhag over time. I remember when I was in yeshiva, there was a boy. In my days, it wasn't so common, this scenario. Usually what would happen was the Shabbos before a Talmud's, you know, chasana, he'd go to his hometown, wherever he lived, and there'd be an ofer from shul. So I remember one particular Talmud. Yeah, there was a Talmud who really was like a Baal Tshuva. He grew up in Los Angeles and didn't really have, you know, I remember how firm his parents were. And he was getting married. I don't even think he was like a full-time Talmud in yeshiva. Basically, the yeshiva hosted his ofrof. I remember one of the Rebbeim, Rabbi Trapper, Chassid's grandfather, Zitzel. He made a whole thing. He actually quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, the way to describe that Shabbos, Shabbos of an Ofrof, is Shabbos she'irim bo lo chasam, the Shabbos where they sing for the chasam. The whole essence of the Shabbos is singing for it. I believe the halacha talks about, this is actually brought down, this minhag, that they would escort him to shul singing. Have you seen that yet in the streets?
Yes.
Where?
European region.
Who did it?
He didn't have 100 people, but a few people.
Who was that?
We did it.
How'd you know this?
I just knew it.
Psh, beautiful. It's very not so well known. Usually, you know, okay, Shazir Ofer, you gotta get there early, buddy. You know, he wakes up early, this runs the show. But really, there should be an escort of people singing. Josh, wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
Bring your kids, you know, right?
Yes.
Walk the streets of Hollywood, North Miami Beach, singing a chasson to shul and shop.
Like a sacred car.
Huh?
Like car.
Something like that. You're not going to have the band on Shabbos. Right. But yeah, there's a certain escort singing. That really is the minhag. So, look on the top of your sheets. This is the Rashba speaking. The Rashba and the Mishmeres Habayis. Ani Omer, k'minhagel shel Yisrael, b'chol makom u'makom, a minhag of Klal Yisrael, in all communities. Torah hi. It has the status of Torah. B'chol ma she'osu b'minhagom yisodosam b'kodesh. All minhagim are based on holy things. Or legitimate minhagim, for that long, are based on holy things. Uvechol mekom nesenu inalgi lahachin suda v'simcha Shabbos lefnei Shabbos shel nesuin. Okay, this is the Ashkenazic approach. Is in all places the minhag was to make a Shabbos suda in singing in simcha, the Shabbos of nesuin before the week of nesuin. That's part of halacha. That's also a chasson. As a chiv aliyah for the gabayim out there, right? During the zofar, for sure.
It's the top level.
Yeah, yeah. Harei, this is Rabbi Yoshev talking. Shaminig lahachin suda v'lasal simcha b'shabbos zu yisoda b'kodesh v'tori. Harishish b'zem mitzvah v'imkain mutar l'raket. Rabbi Yoshev says you can even dance on Shabbos. Normally, we don't dance on Shabbos. Well, Yoshev says the kavod and ofrof, they can dance. No problem. Dancing on Shabbos. That's a bona fide mitzvah. What mitzvah? There's a minhag here. A minhag is Torah. I think just the words alone of the Rashba, and you see how he takes it. Considerably, also commenting on this Rashba, is a minog is considered Torah. Yes, you know, we have the Rises, we have the Rabbanans, might be a different level, but it's part of our heritage, our legacy, a minog is Torah. And then with that, it comes with a certain strength, a certain respect. So you have a question with Yitzchak Chan and Young Rav, what are you playing, picking a fight with the most powerful person in town? You're going to insist he doesn't do the wedding in the Waldorf? He doesn't do the wedding inside? Especially, it's supposed to be 100. I looked at my, said 100% rain today. I don't know, Little League is, might be in jeopardy today. 100%. Okay. So should we move a chasna indoors? There's always umbrellas. That's why you stand under a chuppah. Lamaisa.
So you're not under the stars.
Huh?
So then you're not under the stars. So
no, that works.
There's lots of protection under that
the
house.
The chuppah is under the stars. That's okay. Wow. But that's a vart. Yes.
You've never been in a way where the chuppah was outside and then it started torrential rainfall? Is it right before the challah came in and you moved inside?
No.
Two.
Yeah. A mice, Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan wouldn't be happy. I don't know, other people also wouldn't be happy.
What?
My wedding, my chuppah was very cold. There was a fire.
Oh boy.
And the fire department would not allow us to have the heaters in the chuppah anymore.
Oh no.
Only the chuppah was outside. Everybody else was inside.
Smart.
And then they had,
I've seen those. That's a very smart idea. Is you don't have to have the guests outside, but the chuppah should be outside. But it's a big deal. You see here, what's the basis? This is Torah, first and foremost. And, you know, the same way, normally we don't dance on Shabbos. But if there's a minog, that's a mitzvah. We treat that like Torah, 100%. But Rabbi Yosha is ready to give a heter in Nei Sha'arim to dance on Shabbos. Now, I'll show you Rabbi Yisrael Chanan's answer. Definitely the way Rabbi Yashav explains it. If you look on the bottom, Maramakam again, he adds a little bit more to this. He says, Hey Shivlahem, so this is Rabbi Yisrael Chanan answering back the people. No. Rabbi Rav, how do you start up with the most powerful person? Quotes a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, "Al ginos egos yiradati." I went down to the shell of an egos, of a nut. Mevi'in Chazal k'nimshi Yisrael aguda, my egos, that the Jewish people are comparable to a nut. Okay, Ed, don't follow up with that one.
I wouldn't touch
it. I once had an uncle. He showed me on his coffee table, you know, a bowl of nuts. He's like, this is your family. Okay? Bechachayim, he was a funny uncle. Bechachayim and Hagi Yisrael. And these are the Minhagim of Klal Yisrael. Gam kishenir mi b'chutz minhagel kal bovad. Right? Rabbi Yoshev touched it up that there's two layers of a nut. Even when you see in the outside, the minhag looks very wimpy. You don't know what's hidden inside it. It looks to the naked eye, this doesn't seem such a big deal. Okay, what's the basis of this minhag? This minhag has been going on for hundreds of years. You're just seeing the shell. You're not seeing what's inside. Secondly, Rabbi Yashav explained the answer of Yitzchak Chanan. If you're going to be mevatel one quote unquote light minug, you never know. You're just viewing the outside shell of what you're doing. Okay, so mevatel one minug. You don't see the ramifications, what's hidden inside, if you forgo this. And that second reason is a very, very powerful reason. Both of them are important. A lot of times, these minhagim start, we don't know what their basis is. We don't understand it. You know? I'll tell you, I heard this from my wife's grandmother very, very strongly. We once, you know, many times we'll talk about names. Names in the Jewish community. And there are some names that you hear them today and they sound off. I'll give you one example.
Nimrod.
Yenta.
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 That's a traditional,
Right. Jewish name, Yenta. What's the connotation if you say the word today, Yenta? A Yenta.
She's a gossip.
A gossiper.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question.
A Yenta.
Right? Now, there's a very, you know, I'm not getting into a whole shiur about naming, which deserves its own shiur.
Oh, wow.
Not simple. But let's say there was a grandmother whose name was Yenta. Classic, classic Jewish name. And you say, oh, it's a crazy name. Doesn't make any sense. I remember Bobby Neumann, Rosh Hashanah, to say very strongly, he says, look, obviously you understood the connotation today of what a Yenta is. But she says, I am sure that obviously was not the intention of the name originally. It wasn't it. I'm sure there's a very good reason for the name. And it was confident. Because minhagim are something, it's traveled through the ages. And as long as you could verify this is a legitimate minhag, nowadays people could unearth minhagim no one ever heard of for the past few hundred years.
Yeah.
That you have to be skeptical about. Check into well. But something which is a bona fide minhag that you know there was a name that was passed on for generations, you could be sure there's more than meets the eye than what you see today in 2023, 2024. It's more than meets the eye. And that's the idea why minhagim deserves respect. And secondly, Rabbi Yosef is explaining Yisrael Chanan, it's also that minhagim could, once you start playing, and I think we can understand this point even better with the Rashba. Once you start, you know, pushing aside something as a minhag, then it's a very slippery slope. And what about the Rabbanans? And what about the Raisas? All Torah is connected. Minhag is part of Torah. Once you push away one thing, you're opening the door, an abyss, of where people could just disregard halachas and halachas of Torah. It's very dangerous. Don't start with the minhagim.
So,
yes.
If you're going from what might be considered a weaker minhag to a more chumrah minhag, i.e., let's say, holding a bracha on Pesach, does it behoove a person to change from not from eating a brux to not eating a brux? Is that a stronger minhag? Or a more...
That's a very interesting question.
Is your daughter going to have to make a decision whether or not to change, or does she have
no
choice?
No, she's done. She's
yeah.
She's not eating a brux anymore.
Right, the common practice...
Right
here. This is her last brux.
That's not the case.
Is that women do take the minhagim of their spouses.
That's a
minhag. That's might be more than a minhag.
That's a minhag.
That's a halacha.
That's Shalom Bayit.
Right. But women take. Now, what was posed as a secondary question also, do we rate minhagim based on which direction the minhag is going? Chumrah versus kula. So I'll tell you a story. I guess I can say this publicly. Or amongst friends. My mother-in-law was very excited when she married my father-in-law, Rosh Yeshiva. My father-in-law's family minhag is to wait 4 hours between meat and milk. The family comes from a little town, Polish town right outside of Germany. And their minhag, they didn't...
4 hours.
They're Polish. They missed the, you know, the German minhag of three, but they got four. 4 hours.
Right.
My mother-in-law grew up with six.
Right.
So she downgraded from 4 to 6. From 6 to 4.
Just her?
No. Well, yeah, and then the whole mishpacha kept 4. My wife grew up after having a fellowship meal before she went to bed. She had ice cream. Real ice cream. Then she got married to me. She went from 4 to 6. So my mother-in-law dipped Lakula from 6 to 4. But my wife grew up with 4, got married to me, she went up to 6.
My wife is...
My daughter is going to have to keep 6 and Gebrux.
My wife is Dutch.
Yeah.
That's 1 hour.
1 hour.
1 hour. I think Yekka is 2 hours.
3, right.
2, 3.
Something. So she went from you to 1 to 6? Well, wow.
That's a machloka.
Okay. Well, keep your soul bias intact.
But,
the answer is I don't think we weigh the minhagim really in which direction they go. A husband and a wife, the wife follows the husband's minhagim in either direction. It's a two-way street. It's a chumra and kula.
Women's liberation.
Yeah. There. But the maisa, these questions about minhagim, I want to share one point. I really think a share like this, today I'm viewing step one, just the introduction to really the strength of what a minhag is. A minhag is halacha. Like this idea of getting married under the stars is a big deal. And, you know, it's for sure something people listening to the share, before you put down the deposit for the Waldorf, realize, did you take this into consideration? It's a big deal. You do it in a hotel, the odds are you're not going to get, you know, a skylight. If you're lucky, you get married, you know, into an outdoor chuppah. But like you brought up, what happens on a rainy day? What are you going to do then? What's your backup plan? So, you know, I would think the, you know, I just got a call the other day. You know, some people are very formal. You know, in the classic yeshivish world, you get told you're getting a kibbud at best the day of the chasana. Oh, can you make it? You make sure you come early to the chasana. I want to give you X, Y, or Z. You know, the other day I got a call. You know, I've gotten calls like, you know, here in Florida, especially. It's out of town. I've gotten calls like months in advance. Will you accept this kibbutz? Oh, sure. Thank you so much. You know, someone has called me like, you know, 3 weeks in advance for a kibbutz. But really, Rabbanim should be contacted before you even book the hall. There are so many shilos that come up, right? Most people, they won't talk to their rabbi until the wedding date, the hall, and all these things are set up. And many times it's too late. What are you going to do? Now, you could work out, you know, in the sunshine state, we could do outside chuppahs, and I'll be okay. But this is a perfect example. There's a minhag here. Some people may not be so knowledgeable of it. But first and foremost, to realize that minhag is a big deal in halacha. The Yisrael Chana was ready to fight the most powerful man in town as a young Rav to uphold that minhag.
So what happened?
What happened at the end?
What happened?
He keep his job.
Well, did you hear Rabbi Yehuda Elchanan? I think
no,
we did.
He lost his job.
Right? It sounds pretty amazing, but it sounds that they respected him. More than they respected him. And I think it's quite ironic. You know, his name is on the major institution in Washington Heights. Yeah. You know, even they didn't forget about him.
It's named the school. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I really had one other area I wanted to get into, but it's also a Pandora's box where I saw Poskim potentially make Halukim on a different angle, on the basis of a minhag. Some minhagim are halachic shitas. other minhagim are things which don't have a basis in Allah. Let me compare and contrast for a moment. You know, I don't want to talk about kibrux because that's its own topic. But let's say we've talked about before, putting on tefillin and chol hamoed, right? Now those are minhagim which have halachic basis. Right? We've talked about that. Is that an oath? Do you need an oath? What do we do about that? So there's halachic basis behind that minhag. That might be what we call a type A minhag. Other minhagim, like we just said, you know, let's say the dancing by an ofrof, or getting married out in the outdoor chuppah. Those may not be based on a certain shita in the Gemara and halacha. It might be something behind it, of course. But so maybe we treat those minhagim differently. And there are questions I see the post can bring up. You know, is a son obligated to keep the minhagim of his father? Titish Torah Simecha, the Gemara Mizahim talks about. Your father has a minhag, you have to keep it. But are there certain minhagim? No, you could change, you could adapt. My father stood for Kiddush. I'm going to sit. What about that? Like you said, there are so many minhagim. You watch what people do.
Does it matter what yeshiva does?
Yeah, right.
What about nusach? Is that a minhag?
Yes. Very, right? What nusach you daven? Excellent. Absolutely. That's a major minhag. And same type of thing. Is there a basis to switch it, change it? You know, these things come up a lot. So the idea is weighing minhagim do carry a lot of weight to it. And it's something that, you know, like everything else, needs good rabbinic direction and advice in tackling how to deal with minhagim. As Hashem, we should be zeicha to enjoy our minhagim, keep our minhagim, and learn more and more about how rich, you know, everything about Yiddishkeit is about.